Unsolved Mysteries. Out of deference to persons who may still be living, character names in some of these unsolved mysteries have been changed. In several of these unsolved mysteries, the police have been faced with the problem of a murderer who could gain access to a room locked and bolted on the inside, and then, his crime committed, leave that same room locked and bolted behind him. There was one man to whom these phenomena presented no problem. Harry Houdini, the master magician of all time. And tonight's unsolved mystery is his famous challenge to death. The scene is the outskirts of Liverpool, England. At the home of Mr. Henderson, a group of guests are assembled to meet Mr. Harry Houdini. And among the guests is a Scotland Yard detective inspector who has been working on England's latest unsolved crime. The guests have finished dinner. The men are in the smoking room enjoying cigars and coffee as their hostess, Mrs. Henderson, precedes the ladies into the smoking room.
I know you gentlemen haven't finished your coffee, but the rest of us are really awfully anxious to hear Mr. Houdini.
Oh, delighted, of course.
Yes, my dear. Well, the inspector was in the middle of telling us about Scotland Yard's latest.
Oh, by all means, let's hear that, too.
Well, the thing is really baffling. Here we find a house, doors all bolted and locked, windows barred, and everything tight. The milk hasn't been picked up off the front porch for 3 days. That makes us investigate.
Yes?
We break open the door, find an elderly woman lying before the hearth, dead, murdered. Meal for two set on the table, and 8 witnesses who swear that no one entered or left that house with or without the old woman.
But are your witnesses reliable? How can you be certain that no one entered?
You don't know the old lady's neighbors. They see everything. I suppose, though, that you, Mr. Houdini, don't see anything difficult about the locked and bolted doors, since you're in the habit of getting out of our police handcuffs and our jail cell.
I am not quite as bad as you make me out to be. After all, I make no secret of the fact that I get out of handcuffs and cells and locked safes and all the rest of it by trickery and sleight of hand.
But couldn't the murderer who murdered the old woman have done the same thing? I mean, used the same sort of trickery to get out of the room and house?
But what Mr. Houdini means is that the equipment he uses is all specially prepared.
But I saw Mr. Houdini myself locked in a steel vault on the stage. And it wasn't a faked vault because the manufacturers were there and testified that it was a genuine safe. And yet you got out of that, Mr. Houdini.
But it was trickery just the same. You see, the safe had to be brought onto the stage before the performance started.
Yes, of course.
What about it?
Well, before the curtain went up, I had removed the strong steel springs and substituted weak soft springs in their place. And so opening the safe was simple. I replaced the original steel springs, of course, before the safe was returned to the manufacturers.
Simple as that, eh?
Oh, yes, Inspector. That trick is simplicity itself.
And yet there are people who insist that you must be a spiritualist, capable of, shall we say, disembodying yourself?
These people who make these claims are fake spiritualists. They're just furious at me because I expose their trickery. But,
Yes, Mr. Houdini? But what?
I have determined to do a trick. One in which I shall not use a trick box or a trick rope, and I shall do it underwater. Listen, I shall be placed in an ordinary packing case. It may be examined by experts while it is being manufactured so that there can be no trickery.
Go on.
Then, when I am placed inside, the lid, consisting of 3 pieces, will be nailed in place.
Yes, we follow.
Then the box. or the case will be roped, lifted on a tackle to the deck of a tugboat, moved out to the middle of the harbor, and lowered into the water.
But, Mr. Houdini...
Wait. Oh, I can see every move. In 1, 2, 2 minutes and 8 seconds, the box will be raised to the surface.
And the world will have lost the greatest magician of the age, you, Mr. Houdini, who'll be drowned.
No, sir, I shall be seated on the lid of the steel, nailed, and rope box.
Oh, but you'll be drowned.
You'll be drowned.
I shall not be drowned. And if I am, it will prove...
Prove what?
Never mind that at present. Tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow forenoon.
What do you mean, tomorrow forenoon?
I shall do this new trick tomorrow forenoon at the docks, in the mouth of the Mersey River. I shall call it... Let me see. I have it. Harry Houdini in the challenge to death.
Not only was Harry Houdini the master of magicians, but also he was a master showman. The morning's papers carried the story of his challenge to death. The police tried to interfere on the grounds that he was endangering his life, but arrangements went ahead, and at 12:05 on the crowded and noisy waterfront, the tugboat Elsie whistled that she was ready for her part of the experiment.
The tag's all ready, Mr. Houdini.
And everything is ready here?
Yes, sir, we're all ready.
Then I suppose I'd better get inside of the box.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't, Mr. Houdini. I'm afraid.
Oh, but no. Do not be afraid.
Well, I'm just as afraid, Mr. Houdini.
Now. I am depending on you to see that everything is done properly.
Harry Houdini steps into the wooden packing case. Two burly carpenters step forward, place the 3-plank lid in place, and nail the lid down. With every blow of the hammer, those of the waiting crowd feel their hearts beat faster. The rope, a stout 1-inch rope, is tied about the packing case. The hook of the hoisting line is slipped about the rope. And at a signal, the derrick hoists the packing case and its human cargo over the edge of the dock.
Hoist away there! Lower away!
I'm cold with fear.
So am I. I couldn't sleep all night.
30 seconds. Time seems to be standing still.
He must have been down long enough to get out.
He hasn't had time to do anything yet. 1 minute.
I think we'd better hoist the packing case.
Yes, we should never have let him do this.
Yeah, you can't do that. I have my orders, Mr. Houdini.
Yes, but you can't let him drown after all the experiment. Are they going to hoist him up now?
No, not yet. 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, this is awful. It's like attending an execution.
Yes, only worse.
What if the packing case should slip off the hook and go to the bottom? Yes. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. And if it's already done that and landed upside down...
2 minutes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
The dripping case is hoisted out of the water, and there, seated on the lid, holding to the rope, is Harry Houdini. The tugboat moves to the wharf. The packing case is examined and found nailed in place. Once again, Harry Houdini has been successful. In just a moment, you will hear the solution to the mystery of Harry Houdini's trick, the challenge to death. Ladies and gentlemen, inasmuch as any solution must of necessity be supposition, liberties of time, place, and character have been taken in the solution for which you have been waiting. The scene is once again Mr. Henderson's home in Liverpool, England. Mr. Harry Houdini is explaining his most famous and spectacular trick, The challenge to death.
Well, of course, Mr. Houdini, we all saw the trick performed. But even now, it still seems impossible.
As the inspector said yesterday, once a thing is explained, it is simplicity itself. You see, I know much from study that the audience reaction is of two widely different qualities.
How is that, Mr. Houdini?
To begin with, when the trick, any trick, is commenced, the attention is all directed toward the article employed. The box is examined to see that it is genuine, the rope to see that it is strong, and the nails to see that they are real. But, and here is the great point. When the trick has succeeded, the audience has eyes only for the performer of the trick.
But even then, I still don't see
it. I am explaining to you now the process of thought that precedes the working out of the details. Knowing that the audience will watch me once the trick is over, I in turn know that if I remove myself from the vicinity of the packing case while it is being brought ashore, no one will pay the slightest attention to it. They are all too busy seeing that I, personally, am not up to any more tricks. They ignore my assistants, who are guarding the packing case.
But that doesn't explain how you got out.
Getting out of the case? that was easy. It was getting the lid back ready for inspection. That was the chief worry. You see, when I stepped into the packing case, I carried with me a very small but very powerful pair of nail cutters, thin enough to slip between the lid and the case. And as soon as the nails were driven home by the carpenters, I cut them between the lid and the box. As soon as the packing case was submerged, I slipped the three boards of the lid to one side and clambered out. Then I replaced the three boards and sat on them to hold them securely in place. When the box was hoisted to the deck of the tugboat, I left my assistants to remove the cut nails and replace them with the same type of nail. All this they did hidden behind the canvas covering on the ship's rail while the crowd was watching me at the stern of the boat.
Then if you got out as easily and as quickly as that, why did you keep us in suspense?
My friend, for that very reason, to keep you in suspense. Else, there would be no reason for my calling the trick the challenge to death.
Mr. Houdini, you said something yesterday that if you were drowned, it would prove something.
I did. It would have proved for all time that I was not a spiritualist using my astral body to perform disappearance tricks.